Final segment here on the Morning Roundup, your hour of local, regional, and national sports coverage in Garden City. Here in the KWKR studios, just off of East Kansas Ave, live, Baylen Height, Derek Decker. We just heard from Adam Kadavy in Scott City, recapped that K-State win, and talked about what's going on in Beaverland up north. We've got about 15 minutes left. We're going to swing it back to the high school level. And Derek, I'm going to let you lead us off with this one. Let's talk about that standalone Western Athletic Conference game last night. Kind of a rare scheduled standalone game between Dodge City and Great Bend on the girls' side.
Yeah, it was. And Great Bend got a win. Pretty surprising given the fact that Dodge City had won 11 in a row against Great Bend before last night's ball game. And Great Bend came out all Pistons firing in the first quarter, 7-0 lead, started the game on a 7-0 run. Then Dodge City answered with 7 back of their own to tie the game at the end of the first. The scoring really picked up in the second and third quarters. Both teams struggled to shoot the ball in the first quarter, and then that completely went away from Great Bend. They were able to knock down a good mix of mid-range shots and a lot of layups last night, and they shot at 51% for the game, and that's a season high against Dodge City. That's the most Dodge City's allowed, also the most points Dodge City has allowed in any game this year. We have not seen teams be able to score 50 points against the Lady Demons at all. One time it happened against Southeast on the road right before Christmas break. It was a 51-39 loss over the GWAL WAC Challenge. But that's the only time any team, including McPherson, by the way, who's a team that can really score the basketball, who they played in their opener, it's the only time any team has scored 50 other than Great Bend all season long. The Lady Demons with 18 turnovers, and including a couple of key ones late. And all this is despite Becca Unruh shooting 6 of 10 from the three-point line in the game. She was 6 for her first 8 before she took a couple wild ones at the end to try to get Dodge back in it. She had 22 points in the contest but did not have any in the fourth quarter, Baylen. Great Bend went to a box and one in the fourth quarter. They played a 2-3 zone, which was not necessarily in the scouting report, so both teams played exclusively zone last night, but the 2-3 transitioned into a box and one, and that's really how Great Bend shut down Unruh to pull away and win the game. Great win for Great Bend on the road, and again, we see parity in the WAC conference as this thing gets rolling in full slate.
Yeah, and that really scared me. This game did for Dodge City for that reason. I felt like you were in a scrappy, emotional game with Liberal, a game that not a lot of people picked Dodge City to win. And then you get a Great Bend team that can really, really score the basketball, and you saw them make those adjustments, Derek. That's pretty impressive. I think that this, you know, the girls' side of the standings in the WAC has maybe more intrigue this season than the boys, potentially, because you've seen Garden City go out and go start 3-0. They've already beaten Great Bend and Hayes on the road, two teams that were projected to be right there, maybe above even Garden City on the boys' side. And now you look at the girls, and with Liberal taking their first loss to Dodge City, it's a lot closer, I think, than a lot of people imagine. Garden City's looked scrappy. Dodge City has looked great. The highs have been very high. The lows have been a little low. And then Great Bend's been kind of right there in the middle, right, along with Hayes. Those two teams, we know what they can do. We know what they're capable of, but they haven't really taken that step to grab hold of the conference. And I think even the same can go for Liberal, who's up there at the top in the girls' end. Ton of fun in the WAC. We're still not done. I mean, we're barely halfway through the year, not even really for most teams. After this tournament, you know, breakdown, we'll have a plenty of conference basketball left. Holcomb splits with Clay Center, the girls' winners in game one. The boys fall in game two. Hugoton girls, they beat Smoky Valley. Yana Voss scores her 1,000th career point. She's just the third Lady Eagle to ever do that. So that was a nice little win for Hugoton over Smoky Valley. And the boys beat Kingman. Both Hugoton boys and girls continue this nice little stretch of basketball that's seen the boys rise to number 8 in the 4A rankings. And then, of course, Hugoton started in the top 10 rankings in 4A to begin the year, but they have since fallen out. I would not be surprised if they continue to win and do well at this upcoming tournament, that they can kind of hang around and maybe even get back inside that top 10. So that's our high school basketball recap from last night. I'm going to just bring everybody through the schedule to let them. We do get a night off, thankfully, tonight from high school basketball. Maybe not thankfully. We always wish high school basketball was on, but I think for some of the players, and it's nice certainly to maybe see a little bit of a break. I'm going to bring you through our Thursday schedule. This is not tonight. Tonight we have Garden City Community College basketball and the Scott City Coaches Show. Here is what we're looking at. As far as here, bear with me here. Here's what we're gonna do. Okay, Ulysses girls versus Beloit. That's a 2:40 pregame tip off at 3 p.m. Boys will follow against Duluth North. Hugoton girls versus Southeast of Saline. 2:40 pregame there, and the boys will come a little bit after. That's in that Sterling Invitational. Scott City's going to play Lions on the girls' side. Boys will follow against Southeast Saline. That game starts at 4:10. The coverage does on Mix 94.5. And then the boys, Derek, are in action versus Derby. That's the TOC, Tournament of Champions. Should be a lot of fun there. Tip off at 7 p.m. for the boys. We've got the Holcomb Coaches Show. The Jerome Tang Coaches Show will also be on Mix 94.5 a little bit later on. And then Garden City Boys Basketball plays at 7:10. Pregame, I should say, tip off here on 99.9 The Rock. And then we'll also have the Tournament of Champions games going on the Z98 app. So you can stream that only on KSKZ. There'll be two games, one at 3:30, looks like one at 7:30. That's just one day. Derek, I feel like that's normally our week. That seems like our week nine times out of ten. This is simply just one game, and wow, what a start this has been for these teams and this high school, you know, pace. Really incredible.
Yeah, it is. And this is part of the beauty of the way that Kansas operates their midseason tournaments. Of course, you've got basically everybody in the mix. Some are in the girls' tournaments here. Some are in boys' tournaments. Regardless, you've got tournaments everywhere at the high school level. For Dodge City, that means Tournament of Champions. Remember, you can hear all 12 games on the Z98 app. The three Dodge City games will be on FM radio on 98.1. But beyond that, you know, next week, of course, most teams are in tournaments, say Friday and Saturday of next week as well. So it's just one of those times of year where you've got plenty of busy action, and I'm very thankful to have someone coming in to help me out for a couple of those days and a couple of those games, because I tell you, 12 games in 3 days is going to be the challenge on the radio. It's a challenge to do in any form, but 12 games in 3 days is going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll have all the coverage for you here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Tournament Champion starts 2:00. On Thursday, those afternoon games at 2 and 3:30 are very interesting. There are several ranked teams, both in 5A and in 6A, in this Tournament of Champions this year. You've got Hutch and Newton at 2, Junction City and Shawnee Mission South at 3:30, and then Dodge City takes on Derby in the night session at 7 before Mays South plays Bishop Carroll at 8:30, and that's the last game on Thursday night. So, again, very, very good games going on in TOC coming up this week, and just a great event. And we've talked about it several times, and I know I'm kind of hyping up the Tournament of Champions a little bit, but the way that this event is organized, I've talked to several of the coaches from different teams, and most coaches that are in this year's tournament have already been here at least once. I was thinking about Derby's coach and Brett Flory saying, man, it was such a great thing when we won it in 2015. Derby had a great team that year. But his big thing, and the fact that maybe the charm of this tournament is the fact that almost every year there's a one or two maybe smaller schools that get to be in the mix that are having great seasons that get invited to this thing and make some teams sweat. I mean, Derby a couple of years ago, I think, lost to either Holcomb, maybe it was Holcomb in the championship game in double overtime. Like, there's just so many things that this tournament can provide, and I'm glad to bring you all the coverage, but certainly I'm not the only one that's busy over the next 3 days, as you can see. If you need high school basketball, chances are we're going to have it for you pretty much any time of the day that you decide to turn on your radio, because these tournaments take place all afternoon. So if you're looking for an escape at work, we are the exact perfect answer for you. And if high school hoops is your hobby, then we are your one-stop shop, to be sure.
Yeah, stick with us. I mean, we're trying our best to get all this out and at a high level as well. And Derek, you don't know this, but we will have the morning roundup tomorrow and Friday. Aaron Edelm's going to come in and be a guest host for us tomorrow. I'm going to join Aaron on Thursday. I'll join him over the the airwaves, if you will. And then, of course, Friday we will get a segment or two in there. Won't be able to give the full time to the show, but that's also another good part where we're keeping it rolling. We're keeping the stretch. I don't think we've missed a show yet in the new year. Since we've come back, Derek, have we missed a show? I don't think so. I'm trying to think.
I don't think we have, no.
No, we have not missed a show. That's a goal for us this year, at least through the heat of the sports season, is to keep it live. So Aaron Ingram's going to come in and guest host. I will be out of town. I'll be in Wichita. Derek, you'll be really, really busy with that Tournament of Champions. But we do appreciate Aaron coming in tomorrow. So tune in for that. Of course, you'll hear us as well. We'll be kind of bouncing in and out of there. But yeah, looking around, last thing we were going to take a kind of a quick peek at. We're losing some time here. These Big 12 basketball standings, the deep dive. I'll set it at this. You know, we've talked so much about K-State and Kansas. Let's look outside of the conference real quick. Not outside the conference. Let's look in the conference. Look outside of those two teams. Who's one team, not named, I'll say K-State, KU, and Iowa State, because those are the top three right now, that you would pick to maybe be a dark horse to win this conference? They would need some help. They need to beat, you know, a respected team at the top, but maybe a dark horse pick for you in this day, Derek.
Well, I know who you're going to pick, so I'm not going to pick them. I'm going to go with Baylor. Okay. I think this is a team that, again, got off to that bad start in the league. You lose your first three games, but now they've come back and they've beat West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech. Let's not forget, too, there's an argument to be made that Baylor has one of, if not the best offense in the nation. They really struggle on defense. They're offensive heavy. They give up a lot of points on defense. They're not good in that category. There's no question about it. But, man, can they score some points. They are almost impossible to stop. And their two losses, too, they lost by one to TCU. They lost by two in overtime to K-State. So they are a couple possessions away from being 5-1. And I know you could say that about lots of teams in this league, but I just think Baylor has the most upside, and I will go with the Bears. If there's any team that's not in that top three or four, including Texas, who I don't think has a legitimate chance to win the league because of the outside circumstances that are going on, although they've played some good basketball, don't get me wrong, I think Baylor is the best of the rest in trying to get back into that fold for maybe a top three. And again, I'm telling you, three losses is not going to be good enough to win this league. Yeah, or I'm maybe change that around. Three losses will be good enough to win this league. I think the winner probably ends up having four, maybe even five. That's how competitive this league is. Kansas is projected to be 13-5 in the computer. So, and that's the best in the conference. So it's very possible that could win the league. I like Baylor. Who you like?
And you know where this is going to come from. I'm going to go with TCU here. It's a team I've been in love with all season long. I love their tempo. I love their pace. I think they can certainly just flat out run teams out of the gym and make it difficult on them. I think you saw that against Kansas State in one of their worst performances of the year. I will say this, though, Derek. We're picking TCU. We're picking Baylor. Ken Pom right now, look at the projected rankings as far as, you know, who what they're expected to win and who's not expected to win. They're supposed to both go 9-9 in conference play based on what we've already seen. If it has not already been hammered in your head enough by us, the Big 12 is fierce. It's competitive. They've got Kansas right now, who's presumably the favorite, with five losses. They've already gotten one, so four more along the way. It just seems ridiculous. We're sitting here talking about a TCU and a Baylor team, not because of what we've seen, but because of, you know, what a computer looks at or analytically. They're projected, and these are projections, to finish 9-9 in conference play, and probably, I would say, still have a chance at a top four seed in the NCAA tournament for both of those two teams after a 9-9 finish in the Big 12. Is that out far of the realm? Let's say they both finish 500 in the conference. They'd still be a top four seed, right? Or rather close.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I think this is, but you know, obviously they're tournament locks. Again, there's still Texas Tech has time to make up this opportunity. I think at this point, Texas Tech is the only team that is going to struggle to get in. Maybe West Virginia with the conference losses as well. But the top eight teams in this conference are almost locks to make the NCAA tournament. I mean, they're not quite locks, but everybody's going to have good wins. And I know there are other conferences that are deep. You think about the Big Ten, who's the only conference, in my opinion, that can really get even close to the Big 12. But the Big 12 has steps and steps and miles in front of the Big Ten this year. But there's so much competitiveness with this league, and I know we've said it all season long, but any loss is not a bad loss. There just are no bad losses the rest of the season for anybody in the Big 12, except for the Big 12 SEC Challengers, a couple of those in there that could be bad losses for some teams, but not for K-State or for Kansas. Point being that, you know, if you go anywhere close to 500, or if you get probably 8-10, solidly gets you in this league, and I think that basically makes you a lock for the NCAA tournament. Amazing.
It should, and it'll be fun. It's going to continue to get even deeper, and I think the coolest thing that I've seen, at least, or the most, you know, promising thing, is we haven't seen a ton of big injuries in the conference. Everyone's been relatively healthy. I mean, there's been a few misses by a couple of games, and we've talked K-State. There's been a few key guys out, but it's not things that are expected to be, let's say, the entire season, right? Like, they weren't already injured coming into the year. Guys who haven't come back and or haven't started the year and gotten hurt. I know Texas Tech dealing with some injuries, but I think that's been the most promising thing, and that ultimately leads to the highest level of competitiveness in the conference. That's going to do it for us, though, today. Kind of just floating around, just recapping that massive, massive win by K-State last night. That was the headline, without a doubt. Tomorrow, Aaron Elam will be in studio. He'll take you through probably some more Big 12 basketball, look around college basketball, and I'm sure Aaron will want to talk about the upcoming NFL playoffs this weekend and so much more. Aaron always has an awesome perspective. Might even toss some baseball in there. Look out. Aaron never afraid to talk a little baseball, even sitting here in January. It'll be a ton of fun. Certainly appreciate Aaron coming in and joining us tomorrow. For Derek Decker, I'm Baylen Height, saying so long. And have a great Wednesday, Western Kansas. Make it a good one.